Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Excuse the stupid setup.
Apologize for that.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined in the studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Hello everyone.
Hello Danny, and we're also joined by a very special guest. We've got Laura Smith in the house.
Yay! Hello.
Here we go. Go, cracking stuff. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm all right, actually. I'm all right. So what's been happening? You've been busy. Is your Live at the Apollo gone out yet?
Live at the Apollo goes out on Friday the 13th. So I can say this Friday, but I don't know when the podcast's going
of
out.
January.
Friday the 13th of Jan, and then it'll be on iPlayer, I'm sure.
Exciting. How was that?
It was really lovely. Everyone says how was it, and I give the same answer, which is I decided to enjoy it.
Nice.
Do you know what I mean? I decided to enjoy it. And
brilliant.
As soon as you do that, you can step out and it's that pinch yourself when you see the big sign.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, well, it is. I think it's in the mind's eye of a lot of comedians, isn't it? You go, oh, you know, stepping out on that stage. And I think it's the same thing. You hope you get your first laugh, then you ease into it.
So when I did Mock the Week, the first time, because Mock the Week was huge when I started comedy. So that was literally the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And when I got to the studio, you got that thing of like, oh my God, that's the studio. But once you actually do it, you're like, oh, this is the job.
Yeah.
You're telling jokes, you're just sitting down.
It's the
same thing. So once you get over the fact of what it is, it's a gig, isn't it? A gig's a gig.
100%. Yeah, that same thing kicks in of like, well, I've got to be funny now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I filmed it the week after the Queen died. The Queen died, and then it was like, is it going to happen? So there was a real sort of don't mention the Queen and don't mention the royal family, don't mention anything. And then I've got a bit about something, a little jokey bit about, you know, Twitter being daily hate that you go on to find out who to hate today, you know.
Right.
And some guy at the front, Megan. So then I had to do this. Oh. I thought, oh, fuck, here we go. But I had to do this quick maths of like, so he went Megan. So I thought, well, he hates Megan. Everyone booed him. So I thought, he hates Megan, they've all booed him.
How do you know they're booing him and not Megan?
It was him.
Yeah,
they could just, for whatever happened in the room,
because
I had eyes and ears and all that.
Yeah,
and then, so I thought, if they're pro Megan, they're sort of supposedly secular anti-royalists. So I thought, I don't know where I stand. And so I sort of said, I almost did that maths on stage and went, oh, look at you lot. Oh, I could have done my Prince Andrew joke then. They were going, do it. Anyway, the producer...
Live at the Apollo.
Yeah, yeah. So the producer of the show, must have fell out because he's like, don't mention the royal family.
Do you know if...
But I didn't do it.
That's making it in?
No. God, no, I don't think... No way.
Definitely not.
No. I think...
Beauty of the edit.
Yeah, I think no way. Nowhere, but it's a bit of fun.
It's a liberty being heckled, isn't it? 1 minute after you get on stage on a TV recording.
Oh.
Who are these people?
Do you know what it is? They love to feel part of it, don't they, hecklers? And actually, all the off-the-cuff stuff that they loved, you know, because you're allowed two fucks, no cunt on Live at the Apollo, I was told.
Two fucks, no cunt.
You're only allowed two fucks and, to quote my mum, when I told her that, she went, well, what are you going to say then? That's like the whole set, babes. But,
did you have to, so this is interesting, joke-wise, did you change a cunt to another word, and did that change the joke and the rhythm and stuff?
Yeah, so I changed a cunt to a prick. So once the cunt turned
pricks,
into
pricks
a prick,
go to, isn't it?
So then Then I changed an earlier gag. So I changed a setup to a gag that said, bullshit. So I stopped. At the start of the gag, I used bullshit and ending cunt. But where I softened the cunt to prick, then bullshit had to get softened for the prick to bang.
Love that.
Do you see what I mean?
Because you can't. It's the equivalent of if you're dealing with a heckler. And that, straight at the beginning of a show, if you use the C word, you've got nowhere to go.
You've got nowhere to go. Yeah,
it's like using a knife after a gun, isn't it?
So what did you? What did?
So well, I said, there's a joke that I have. My big joke. It's about bitching and bitchy feelers. I don't know if you've seen me do it, but it's about work and how you can't go balls deep on a bitch. You've got to do bitchy feelers. And so I say, then you know, you do the bitchy feeler, and if the person you're talking to goes, yeah, and most of it's bullshit. You're like, we're in. But so I changed that to, you can't believe half of it. Something like, you can't believe half of it, or you can't believe most of it. Or so, just something very nice. So that the prick banged at the end, which is when I say, but men don't have to do bitchy feelers. They're straight down the line about it. They'll, you know, I've started jobs before and on the first day, but like, everyone's all right. Pete's a bit of a cunt, or Pete's a bit of a prick.
Whoa. So did you find that took it out away from the job? It didn't bang as well as it would normally have banged.
No, I think it banged.
You
know, and I
so
think
would you change it?
No, don't be silly. I'm very good at saying the C word.
How many, what do you reckon your cunt count is in your 20-minute set?
Do you know what, though? do you know what's funny? I was talking to someone, I think it was John Mann, actually. It might have been John Mann.
Love John Mann.
I love John Mann. And he said, something like, or one of them old school it might have been John Mann, it could have been the very brilliant Ian Stone, actually, even, who I'd put in the same camp of brilliant
friend of the podcast,
old school, brilliant people. So I said to him, I'm worried it can be a bit cut there, because it's not exactly not on brand, though, is it? It's not exactly out of character. So, and that's it. I think sometimes it jars when you think sometimes swearing gratuitously comes across when
I did, they wouldn't go for it at all.
And I would say something like, I've got a joke, for instance, where I talk about something like, and then they spent 6 hours cunting her off on Twitter. But I would say, I'll go, I was cunting them off, because it's just unfortunately how I talk. But sometimes I can come away thinking, oh god, that was a bit
right.
Do you ever
get anyone complaining about that?
No, but what you sometimes get, especially as a woman, and sometimes these certain promoters will go, oh, you swear a lot. But they're kind of saying it in a way to put you back in your place because you've just destroyed. And I don't care. I'm not one to sort of wave the sort of...
If you're smashing the room, you can't. There's just no...
Yeah.
What kind of cunt would tell you, like, you swear too much?
But I do know when there's a difference. For some reason, there's a difference when I know that I'm swearing and I see other comedians do it, when you're not doing too well. So you might as well be chewing gum. Couldn't give a fuck, mate. I can feel my fuck count go up. It's the fuck count that goes up when I feel like I'm not doing well.
So were you constantly throughout your Live at Apollo set trying to remember not to do that, or had you practiced enough that...
No, it was such a rule for me that it was... And actually, I really enjoyed the process of tidying up my set. And because it's always nice when you think, I can do a clean set.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the Now Show for Radio 4, which was clean and shaped. I love writing to spec, and I love writing for a purpose, and I love cleaning stuff because I think, oh no, I can write jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? So, that's a nice feeling. I'd love to be a clean comedian.
Laura, who was on the episode of Live at Apollo with you?
Oh, Kay Kurd hosted it.
Uh-huh.
And that felt really nice because he keeps things normal, Kay Kurd. I might as well have been up the creek. And he's one of these sort of...
He's not trying to psych you out backstage or anything.
No, he's doing the opposite, where he's like, he's a bit bully boy tactics, and he's like mugging you off. You know what I mean? He'll go, fresh kicks. But like, he sort of banters you and you go, oh yeah, it all feel very normal. Some things make you laugh, don't they? And then they just seem to not bang for some reason.
That's what we're after.
Yeah, of course. I had a joke... Like that bitchy feelers bit was something that I didn't have the confidence as a performer to perform for a long while. Like, so I had the idea brewing for a long time. And anytime I tried it, because I'm a bit of a set it up, knock it down person.
Yes.
So anything that you need to commit to and maybe delay the kind of laughter. Yeah. I think I was quite scared at the beginning. So that was something that didn't work. And then I don't know, one joke, it was my first ever gig and I've never repeated it because I committed to it so hard and it didn't bang. And it was just so embarrassing.
It is hard if you have to commit, you really commit to something and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and it was literally my first ever gig ever. And it was a joke about teaching. it's like I'm too embarrassed to ever return to it with a bit more performing chops, which is...
That's the best time to sort of. Yeah. You might be able to say it better.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to remember it now. I should have remembered it before I came here. It goes like about teaching being quite tough. You know, it's all, you know, why are you late? Stop running down the corridor. Your skirt's too short. And I'm like,
nice. I like it.
You can't speak to me like that without a union rep present.
Yeah, I like it. That's a proper joke.
It's a proper joke. I do like writing jokes. I really committed to it so hard that I was like, rah! And then it went to silence. And I think there's sort of part of me that holds this sort of terrified kind of space. It was met with silence.
I'm annoyed with you that you haven't pursued that, because that's a really, really funny joke.
I've probably told it better to you just sitting here. Yeah,
but you're a better comic now. Yeah. So maybe if you don't watch back, you probably won't remember it, but maybe you just delivered it terribly.
Yeah.
But I think also with that, if you don't pause on talk to me like that, because to me, that's where the bang is. Talk to me like that. That's where you reveal what the joke is. And then if you say the next bit, all in one, so don't you remember that, and there's a you're talking over where they could be laughing. Yeah. So maybe you need, don't talk to me like that, laughter, and then continue
without
it.
A union rep present.
But you might have been nervous.
I was terrified.
Because that's a long punch, that's too long a punchline, really. But if it was complete silence, that sounds like that's something else was going wrong. But that's
I think I didn't, so even just for the minute I go, and I'm like, but if I go, you can't speak to me like that.
Yes.
But I think,
don't say I'm like. Yeah. So I think I said,
you can't, I'm like, you can't really speak to me like that at that union rep. I don't know.
Actually, let's break it. Hang on. Let's break that down a bit closer. So you do the last one, that skirt's too short.
Yeah.
And then from there, can you get to the punch, the actual punch, without giving it away? Because if you say, I'm like, that means they know where the joke's going before the punchline. Because is there a way of doing it? Which I think you'll agree, they shouldn't talk to me like that. Yeah. That way, I think you'll agree, that could still be you talking to the kids.
Yeah.
So that gets the punch all on that one moment.
Yeah, this is it. It's about refining the punch. So what's funny, you both sniggered as soon as I went, and I'm like, so I could just go, and I'm like, rude. enough, isn't it? So I suppose I just didn't understand enough of the kind of...
Ping. What you need is just to try it a load of times at new material gigs, and then you'll find where the biggest pop comes.
Yeah,
that's a good joke, especially if that's an opener.
Yeah,
because you're.
I was thinking that used to be a teacher.
It's a natural in, and also if you've got a few pullback and reveal-y jokes, maybe they would see that coming.
If that's
your first few, they don't know what you are, so they don't know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah,
so I think it's really funny.
It's so funny. I'm literally like. I feel like, like vulnerable, even you giving me feedback. It occupies such a space
because
that was
probably the first
for me.
Because
like,
that was the first time you died. Wow, that's...
You've just locked it into a little box.
No, it's my first ever gig. I did it...
Right.
I did that. That was in my first ever gig.
And where was that gig?
At Cavendish, obviously.
Cavendish Arms in Stockwell.
Yeah. And it was on an Easter Monday, April 22nd. So it was like...
Wow, that's so funny.
Do you remember your first date? Mark, April 22nd.
I don't remember anything like that. I fell into doing it. It wasn't like scheduled. Like it was just really by accident. So I wish I did know. Well, it's just sort of, because I was really shy talking in front of people, I'd never even considered that I could do it. And my mate, I bumped into a mate of a mate, and he'd been doing the open mic circuit, and he just convinced me to go and have a go. So it was all very rushed.
Oh, lovely.
So I didn't have much time to plan or think or anything. I just sort of went and had a go at it. I'd love to know all the details, how many gigs and all
I wouldn't
sort of
know
stuff.
How many gigs. I think
I
that
wish
would
I'd made a note of that, because it'd just be fascinating to know. Can you remember any jokes from that first sort of the course or anything that didn't really hit?
One of my biggest, well, it didn't really hit. Yeah, let me think. Everything's just got a lot shorter, to be honest.
Just learn how
everything's to... just got a lot shorter. Yeah. And so I really, I did the gong, I did the blackout. This is such a shit. I've never really bombed, but the blackout, Johnny Cochran said to me after the blackout, and some people hate feedback. I'm not, I love feedback. Come and talk to me. Love it.
Mm.
He went, your bangs bang. He went to me. And I did, I got a special mention. Someone else absolutely, I thought I was brilliant. Beat the blackout. It's only about my 8th gig or something like that.
Yeah.
And then someone just came on and went, oh yeah, you're going to fuck. You know when you go, oh yeah, you're going to win it.
Yeah.
And but I got a little special mention, a little mini bottle of Prosecco or whatever. And he went, look, your bangs bang, but you take too long to get there, he went.
Yeah, nice. Good
and
feedback.
That was all my jokes. I just took too long to get there. So I just cut all the fat from it, totally. Mm.
Brilliant. So any other bits, like recent bits that you've sort of liked but haven't quite hit?
Yeah, what are my... I've got a bit at the minute. I had a really stinker at Top Secret on Sunday because I don't know why.
Sorry. We always have to hear about the stinkers.
Yeah, yeah. It ended up quite good, but I just got back from holiday, so I was sort of just talking about that, and I forgot that I actually had to do a...
Did you?
Sort of like, I started going riffing, yeah. And a bit of new material because my head was buzzing on holiday and I was writing loads of things and I almost just couldn't wait for a new material night, so I sort of went down there. And they were looking at me like, babes, are you all right? Because I had a joke that about getting fit because I need to get fit. And do you know what? Talking about my weight, people can go, oh, no, we don't want you to insult yourself. When I first started, I talked about my weight a lot.
The thing is, you're very likable on stage, so they probably don't want you to.
Yeah. Mm. And I think, and I mean, I wasn't even, I've put on weights, so I wasn't even that big. I think Jeff Innocent said to me once, you're not that big.
That's the thing as
well. Do you know
well.
What I mean? It's like yeah. You're putting your securities, like they might say this. You know, it's that classic when you start, I know what you're thinking.
Yeah,
you know.
Let themselves go, whatever.
I look like this.
Like sometimes some people go, oh, I'm terrible with women, but they're quite good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually remember someone doing that, saying they had no chance of getting a date. And I was thinking, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe what you think they see, they don't see.
And that's really weird. And I've talked to comedians about that kind of very, very few comedians get that right.
Mm.
How they think the audience sees them. And you go, no,
yeah,
that's not how they, that's, I'm not get, that's not the first thing I'm getting from you at all. Or,
yeah.
And I've seen comedians insult themselves and I think, oh no, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually, I've shelved a lot of that stuff because they don't want to hear it. And actually, I've had to learn how to reframe it. So I'm very careful when I talk about anything about my appearance that doesn't, because you don't want to are. So that's the sort of stuff that I've got rid of. And I was talking about that. And I was talking about, because I'd been skiing and I was like, you know, realizing how difficult... Like it was, I really kind of was doing this big, quite physical thing for the first time in a long time. I thought, oh, I was really aware of, oh, hang on, this has crept on. And talking about it, people got really, really uncomfortable.
Oh, really?
And I was saying that I said, I move. I think this is really funny. I said, I do move slow, though. I said, whatever I do, I move slow. I said, I can get pins and needles when I'm walking. And no one
that's
laughed.
That's a really good lie.
Yeah, no one laughed. I thought that was really funny. And no one laughed.
For me, that is because they don't want to laugh.
They were worried about me.
Well, also, actually, that's actually quite a clever joke as well that does maybe take a second to get.
And yeah, because it also depends. If you've only tried
that
once...
It's a great line, but it just took me a second.
Sometimes, if that's Top Secret during the week...
It's just a Sunday evening, but it was... And I opened.
Might not be... Sometimes crowds aren't that savvy because they're there... Yeah. Depends on the night of week at Top Secret, I think. So I wouldn't judge it on that. But I think that's a really good line. I like that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, and I've got a joke. I've got a joke as well. And in some crowds, it goes down an absolute treat. And some people just are so scared of laughing at it. Because I say that I think... it's a whole thing about things being overrated. And I use it as a segue to talk about my weight. And like I say, I've had to learn to be really careful on it. But I think it's really funny. And sometimes it bangs. But sometimes it just... It don't, only occasionally it bangs. Sometimes people just go... But it goes like this. So I say, I think barbecues are overrated. This is all solid, which is like...
I'm out.
When's it start a barbecue? When's it end? Why is the chicken going back in the oven? What the fuck's going on? You know, and also it's like, I like the idea of a barbecue. You know, it's summer. I'm humble, I say. Summer day, go outside, someone's having a barbecue. Perfect. I said, my ideal, neighbour's having a barbecue. Clear the tunes, good vibes. I'm in the kids' paddling pool, can of Red Stripe Bosch. It's yeah. Lovely. That's perfect. They're all having a laugh. Lovely.
Yeah.
And then I say, cool. So then the paranoia kicks in, doesn't it? You start thinking, what are they laughing at? And then I do a kind of look down at myself.
Right. Okay,
and deep down, I know the answer. It's a fat cunt in the paddling pool, right? Which I think is a grand. And I think a man could tell it. I think that there's sort of women, like people go, oh no, a woman. I think there is something about weight. It's like
Do you think the look down gives the joke
away?
Oh yeah,
they love it. Though, but that's kind
of... like the look down?
I don't know whether... But I think they just think, oh no, she's called... But I sort of then carry on and go, can you call yourself a fat cunt anymore? I don't even know the rules. I don't even know the rules anymore. I just think one day women are going to end up having to protest with placards just for the right to look in the mirror and go, sort it out, you fat cunt. You know? Because... But I think people get really scared, but... I don't care. Like, I think it's... So I kind of back it with, I am body positive. I tell them I'm body positive. I look in the mirror, I love myself, I get whoops and cheers. And then I see a photo and I think, who the fuck is that? Because it's true. It's like, you kind of... I always find you have to let them know, oh, I'm all right.
Yeah, so if you establish earlier that you're body positive.
Yeah. So it's always a funny thing that I'm playing with, but I feel like...
Because you could even say...
See, you're still laughing. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think it's one of them where they don't know whether they're allowed to laugh, but you know, you do it out in Essex or
for
a real
me,
Larry
the fact that
crowd.
You're a comedian on stage saying it, they should know they're allowed to laugh.
Yeah.
But also, some London crowds are more right on, kind of overly right on. So if you did that in a village hall in
Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Up north, they love it, or like. Yeah, more sort of regional.
We did a really hipster gig.
We did.
We haven't got time to go into it, but they were super tense about anything. Yeah, and it's just like, well, that's, you can't judge any material on that.
I'm always reticent to go down that road of saying that, but bloody hell, it was true.
Yeah.
It was really true. Yeah,
we got it on camera. So
they
it's
were
real.
All just sort of, wouldn't it? You said something and yeah, it was, it's that woke thing, isn't it? Which I'm always a little bit...
I went into them and like, why did you get weird about that? And they couldn't give an answer because it was an instant gut reaction. And
what
then
was
they
it?
Went,
what was it then about?
There's a joke.
I just can't think of anything you say that's offensive.
It's a joke where it's a wordplay on, but the word Nigerians in it.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said it, they were tense. And it was, so the wordplay is, it's about a tribute act. So I recently transferred a lot of money to a Nigerian prince about the emails.
Yeah.
And I went, brilliant tribute act. So it's a good solid gag.
It's a joke about Prince, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a joke about, exactly. Yeah. And the fact that those emails are a Nigerian prince. Yeah. If it was a Spanish prince,
I love
the
that
same joke would work.
Yeah, no, then, but it is.
But it gets them tense. So it's one of those things where loads of comedians said you should still do it. It's a good joke. But for me, I want everyone to laugh.
Yeah.
So if I don't laugh, there's no point doing the joke.
But do you remember what happened? Mark wouldn't let it go. So you said
I wouldn't let it go.
You said, what was that, mate? And what did he say?
So what happened was the whole room was super quiet and awkward.
I was emceeing. I could feel the sweat dripping down my face as I was trying to get them going at the beginning.
So, and they were so awkward. And I was like, no, because if I don't go into it, they all think I've said something dodgy, which I haven't. So I'm not going to have it. So I went into it and say, why? Come on, guys. What's actually? Can anyone tell me what? I think you'll be overreacting. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It's technically a good joke. Yeah, nothing offensive in it in the slightest. And then this one guy shook his head like that. And I went to him. Why are you shaking your head? He went, move on, like this.
Drop me out.
Yeah. So I then sort of went into it. And sort of explained, I literally spoke through the whole joke and said that there's literally nothing wrong with anything that's being said there.
Yeah.
And then it was awkward. And then at the end, he came up to me and it's quite posh. He was like, sorry about that. And I said, what was wrong with it? He went, oh, it's, you know, because it was a dad joke. So he'd realised he couldn't, and he had an excuse. But like, if it's a dad joke, you wouldn't say move on. That's not a reaction to a dad joke. So,
but this is, I think this is like, you know, if you get into the word woke, like woke A is like, it's such a sleight of hand how that word is being used now. Because like woke for me, I always understood that it's like, you know, I stay woke. You know, that kind of like this kind of people that, you know, might kind of really see what's going on, going beyond the kind of accepted main narrative of things and kind of looking outside the box and kind of not accepting these things wholesale, or, you know, have done a fuckload of acid and gone, ah, I see what's going, this is what it's really about, gang. So this idea that these kind of angry people that don't really know themselves are woke, they're not woke. They're actually quite insecure and so self kind of editing that they don't then know how to be in the flow. Like I would associate wokeness with a sense of a kind of flow and whole of humanity together. So of course then that's kind of then been sort of then engineered to say, well, we need to consider everyone and love everyone. But then there's a sort of patronizing element of that you're so terrified that this, you know, blue-eyed tall white guy is gonna go, this is about stereotyping Nigerians negatively, when actually we have no clue that behind these emails is a Nigerian prince. It's just a meme in the true sense of the word, that we all, a cultural point that we all understand, isn't it? It's like we've all had those emails in the same way we've all had Viagra emails or single girls in our area emails. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, so it's that sort of I don't know whether I'd hurt someone laughing at this. So it might come from a nice place, but also it might come from a nice place mentally, but actually if there's no ill will in that room, who are you protecting? Are you protecting the possible, oh, what if this is leaked and a Nigerian person sees it? Like, because every Nigerian would laugh at that. And there's jokes, for instance, I tell in black rooms, well, as a shorthand, I'll say urban circuit or black audiences, that I would never tell in a white audience, because, which is proof that you're saying, you know what I mean? I was joking at an Ori Styler's gig the other week about Twitter and all that sort of thing, about the Queen dying and how black Twitter couldn't give a shit. I said, but when Angela Lansbury died, fucking hell, murder, she wrote, you know, everyone wanted their 10 days. And it was like, ah, you know what I mean? I'd never tell that joke anywhere other than for black people. Do you understand what I mean? It's like, I've been, you know, like Raj Pujara, I watched his Latitude set, and once again, he can't say the word Indian or Pakistani without the collective arsehole clenching in the field. Like, you're at a festival and they're going, it's an Asian man talking about Asian things. And Shazia Mirza, same, on a mixed bill in Edinburgh, she went, don't worry, your Guardian readers, you'll laugh when you get home, so it feels safe. They couldn't laugh at anything she said.
It's just so frustrating, because, like, down to the raw joke writing of it, if those emails came from a Spanish prince or any other prince, that would work perfectly. But I can't change it to Spanish prince, because everyone will go, well, those emails don't come from a Spanish prince.
Well, this is it. There's a nice little element of reality. And we saw that to subversion. I mean, but it is just also... But there is an element of it being really funny that... there's a Nigerian guy, you know, I know Prince, but like a Nigerian guy like that loves Prince that much. He's a tribute act in Nigeria. It's just there is some fun in that.
And I bet there is one.
Well. Of course there is.
I bet there's an everything Prince.
Yeah. But it's weird that, isn't it? But there is such a weird feeling when you know you've lost the crowd. I did a gig just before Christmas in High Wycombe. You know, it's like a curb gig. Like,
Hellfire. No, yeah. Hellcat? Hellfire?
Yeah, something like that. They're all sat around having their Christmas dinner and all that.
Oh, you did the Christmas
one. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I went, Wendalusia. Was it the fat cunt stuff like this? Then someone went, McCann's. And I'm like, oh, drop me out. But that's another joke. One of my jokes is bred from someone not finding it funny. And I went into the comedy room and going, guys, I really offended someone with this joke. This is funny, ain't it? But when you feel that collective arsehole clench, you go, I've kind of got, you're brilliant at it. Where do I address this? Where do I go? I emceed the boat show the other weekend.
I always go at whatever the situation is. That's my rule. Because like I said, I don't want all those people leaving. And they could go, you know, Mark Simmons is racist. It's like, you've got to defend yourself if they've gone weird, I think.
In a weird way though, Mark, I feel like your act has become, I don't know whether there's a shift of like, now your audience interaction's my favourite thing in the whole wide world. You're explaining the joke. It just gives me like deep delight when you go into that for like, I don't even want to hear the rest of your jokes. Let's keep doing that. I don't know.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What are you going to say? You emceed the boat show?
They said, there's a corporate big group booking in. Honestly, I felt the whole night was me going, Milton Jones was on warming up for his last ever Mock the Week. I felt really responsible for MC. I found out it was like 60 Norwegians. So any nuance was gone. So it felt like a frozen.
Well, that's like, I know from personal experience that Milton will definitely struggle there because any wordplay when it's not your first language is totally.
And that's
lost.
All it was. It all made sense. And once I knew that, at lunchtime, fat car, the six, whatever it's called, the break. The interval. I always have a snap. So it was like, it's 60 Norwegians. And then everything just felt, I'm going to tell you. This leads in nicely to my next new joke, which I used. It didn't go well in Top Secret, but I think there's something there. Is that I've become conscious of my foreign accent. So I've got a foreign accent. That's not to say I've got a foreign accent, but when I speak to foreign people, I talk. I like this, yes. Like I realised I did it. You know, that kind of, no, we went to the restaurant. You know, just down on the other side of the square. Yes. Good. It was good, but expensive. There's something there of like working on my foreign accent.
Again, because your mouth gets bigger.
Yes.
You really...
You're slower and louder, don't you?
I hate myself,
because you can describe what you do.
Yeah, I hate myself. Yeah, should I describe what I do?
Yeah.
My mouth goes big. I hate myself. I hate myself when I do it. So I don't know. There's something there. But I think, again, because I said foreign accent, everyone went,
But
I'm flagging
accent,
the fact that I'm a prick.
That's another word. Foreign is another word that's triggering.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about wrestling before, weren't we? And they used to use the term foreign object. You know, someone bring a chair in the ring and hit him over the head with a chair, that's called a foreign object.
Yeah.
Of course, now that isn't particularly the parlance of the day, shall we say, to say it's a foreign object.
It's an international object.
International object.
What's the new thing of ethnic minority? It's global majority. And the people have objected to that.
Oh, right, cool.
It's a phrasing that someone's used to say, I don't know, like, if you're an ethnic minority in this country, you're still the global majority. But it's like, I saw a really good analysis for that, which was like, fuck off, drop me out. That doesn't solve the issue. you've changed the wording. That's great. So well done. You've solved racism. Now can we have some equality, you dickheads? Yeah.
Wow, that is the end of the episode.
Oh, really?
That has flown by. That was so good. So thank you so much for coming on.
Welcome.
Is there anything you want to tell people to see or do or watch or... Where can they find your stuff?
No, do you know what I'm doing? I am, please do look out this year. I don't know if I'm taking it to Edinburgh, but I'm going to spend a year perfecting an hour. I've not done an hour yet because of...
Take it to Edinburgh.
No, I don't want to do that. I'd rather go Spain. use me foreign accent. But so come and check out my Instagram and for my works in progress. It's just that Laura Smith.
That Laura Smith. And Smith is spelled Smith with a Y.
Like the toy
that's
shop.
That's important.
Indeed.
Like the toy
but
shop.
But we don't have shares. It's, yeah, so that's it.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Give Danny a follow at...
Danny Ward Comedian.
Come see us on tour. Tickets available now. Tours from the end of April until the end of July at marksimmons.co.uk and or my social media at Jokes with Mark. Danny, anything more from you?
No, apart from I can't wait to see you on stage.
Oh,
nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.